I'm Kurt Benkert, and this is Pocket Presence, powered by Sleeper. All righty, welcome back to this Friday's episode. Tyler, we're running two a week now. It's back. We're back. It's Pocket Presence. We have a fun guest this time. We have Ted Wen, the purveyor of truth of All 22 film. Ted does a lot of breakdowns and stuff around the NFL with All 22, bringing analysis into the film that we're seeing on the tape. We see a lot of All 22 circulating around now. I know NFL Plus has new access to fans that lets fans see a perspective that they don't always get the insight to see. So we're going to use some of this today to dive into this one Friday game that's going to be probably within a couple hours of this going live, and then some of the slate for Sunday. But Ted, thanks for being here.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Tyler, so we got this game tonight. We got the Packers opening game, and they're playing against the Eagles, obviously, in Brazil. There's been a lot of discourse around, one, the travel with Brazil, the setup with players, which I will say, seeing some of the nuances come out around where the teams are staying, where they're practicing, the travel on game day, like some of that stuff, a little bit iffy, a little weird. I would say from a former player's perspective, one thing you don't love is a lot of like changes in the day-to-day scheduling. And even when you go as an away team to the away city, typically, like say you're going to play in New Orleans, or you're playing in Atlanta, like the regimen for being an away team is the same for the most part, team to team to team. You stay close to the stadium, you have your walkthrough area, you have all the stuff for you. It seems like there might be a real home field advantage this time for the Eagles that I'd like to talk a little bit about. What have you been seeing, Tyler?
The stories are just so weird. Like you get some people saying that Brazil is the most dangerous place and these players shouldn't leave their hotel room. And then you have my perception of Brazil before any of this discourse around the NFL was like, it seems like a fun, vibrant place to go visit. So I'm sure the NFL is being overly cautious because the last thing they would want is something happening to one of their players. But I don't think the risk is any more ridiculous. I saw a tweet where it's like, the Eagles realize they play in Philadelphia, right? I mean, these are fans that are climbing light poles after wins and losses. So I don't think there's much of a variance in how dangerous it is just because it's in a different country. But I do think it's a good point. And it's just one of these games where I just question so much how much the momentum carries over from last year. Is it like the Eagles losing 8 in a row, the Packers looking great? Does that matter at all here?
I think that's a perfect time to ask Ted. Like, Ted, what is kind of like, and I know we don't really have any like regular season film yet of these two teams.
Anyway.
The Eagles have two new coordinators. There's a lot of good that comes with that. There's a lot of early struggles that come with that. Typically, I guess, from you and how you're breaking down this game, like, what are you setting the stage of this game looking like?
Yeah, I think there's less continuity with the Eagles, obviously. They're going to be running two different systems on both sides of the ball. Defensively, it's not going to be that much different because they did run some Fangio stuff the year before with Jonathan Gannon. But offensively, you know, GM Hurts kind of talked about, you know, we thought that Kellen Moore might build on what they did last year, but he kind of talked about how it's a whole new playbook. So it's a lot to learn. And, you know, anytime you're trying to run a new offense in a hostile environment, which it could be in Brazil, I think there's going to be some growing pains, especially early in the season. They're going to have a lot more motion, you know, so operational wise, it's going to be, I think, more difficult on Jalen Hurts. And I mean, I was going to ask you, like, you know, as a player, do you think that the Eagles being a little older kind of helps in this situation?
Well, yeah, I think it does. So I'm looking at this again, they're older across the board, except for Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is still within reason, like relatively young. And I would say that what he was asked to do last year did not prepare him for what Kellen Moore is going to have him do. And again, I'd have to look back a couple of years prior to see what his system was like. And again, I'm not saying that like Jalen's not a smart guy. He can figure it out. He's been in multiple systems in college, but I think the biggest thing that I'm looking at in this game with those guys, like Jalen has to be able to navigate the live fire in live situations with pressure and having answers for pressure that he may not really have had the reps on, to where when everything is new to you, it's not necessarily second nature. And if I'm the Packers, of all the games to just bring a lot of pressure, like cause havoc, all of that stuff, it would be this game. And I would rather lose to the Eagles throwing everything we have at them, trying to get them while they're still figuring it out, than sit back and let Saquon run for 4 to 5 yards a pop, throw an easy hitch to AJ Brown. And so game scheme wise, I think as of today, the Packers are more suited to go take advantage of this Eagles team that's still going to be figuring it out early, where if they were to be playing them in week 10, I think the game plan would be entirely different. So I'm just, again, I'm hoping that the Packers win because I still have some Packers bias, but I'm also hoping that the Eagles look good. Like I want to be able to pull for them this year. I want to break their stuff down. Like I don't want to watch that same abysmal Eagles operation that we did last year with no motion and all that stuff. So yeah, to answer the question, I think that having older guys helps, but I think the Packers can determine how this game goes defensively.
Yeah, and one huge difference between offense last year and this year is the Eagles were dead last in motion usage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kellen Moore with the Chargers were fifth in motion usage. And if preseason is any indication of what they're going to do, they're going to use a ton of motion and shifts. And and another thing with the blitz is the Eagles faced the most cover zero blitz from last year. Teams were definitely testing Jalen Hurts. There was comments about him just being very uncomfortable against cover zero. And actually the new Packers defensive coordinator, he's kind of from that cover three Seattle tree. And we know that those teams don't blitz a lot, but you know, just knowing Jalen Hurts and his weaknesses and, you know, being in the new offense, I agree. I think this is the time to really kind of go outside of yourself and really test if he's able to handle that pre-snap operation and get the ball out hot or whatever their system is to beat the blitz.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, like, again, a lot of the zero blitz problems the Eagles have been schematically. They wanted to throw one-on-one routes that are, like, all breaking out and not take advantage of the middle of the field versus clear cover zero. And it's one thing to get zeroed, like, at the snap from a shell that's disguised. But when teams are lining up and saying, hey, we're going to zero you and we're going to see what you're going to do, and they're just throwing five-yard outs, 10-yard outs, like, there's no real threat. It kind of reminded me of the Ravens last night. So many throws were at the line of scrimmage or, like, bubbles and this and that. To have explosive players like A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, that you're not even going to take advantage of a really key situation in cover zero where you might get sacked or it could be an 80-yard touchdown. I think that I'm excited to see what the Eagles' zero blitz plan is. I think that the Packers are also going to be excited to see what is their plan. And the Packers, I'd expect to zero one, two, three times, probably once early to see what the plan is and then save that for a critical situation. But I think this is also what I'm looking at too. Like Dak Prescott, his career, I guess we could call it arc or maybe even slightly resurgence. He had, I guess, some down years in a sense. Like started when Kellen Moore, I think, got to Dallas. It was right around that time he started figuring out playing quarterback a little bit differently. Like Dak at that time was not much more talented or more talented than Jalen Hurts is right now. And I think that Kellen Moore could be a really, really big asset. I'm a Kellen Moore fan. I think he's a good offensive coordinator. I think that was a really tough situation to be in LA. I think that obviously the whole staff got canned. It wasn't a great situation across the board. But I think that he's going to bring to them what they've been needing. And he's got the tools, dude. Like you got Devonta Smith, you got AJ Brown, Saquon Barkley, Jalen can run. Jalen will be healthy to start the year. You know, like there's no reason for the Eagles to be not a 10, 11, 12 win team this year. Like there's no reason at all. So use a little more motion. You see even the worst teams in the NFL getting guys open with motion. You saw the Ravens last night use a bunch of just quick shifts at the line of scrimmage in that 2 minute drill just to get a little bit of a better edge and separation. So I think it last year was an anomaly for the Eagles to think that they can just line up and play ball and be better than people. Like you got to move, create that advantage. So
yeah. Kurt, you mentioned all those guys that are coming back. The one void in this team is going to be on the offensive line with Jason Kelce. Mm-hmm. And Ted, I'm curious, how do you think the Eagles look to replace him? What did he do for them last year? And is it going to be a noticeable gap in their offensive line?
Yeah, I think they've talked about how it's going to be, Jalen Hurts talked about this. He talked about how he didn't really have to learn protections and handle protections because he had the luxury of just going to your Hall of Fame center and having him make the calls and adjustment. So it's going to be different. I mean, teams are going to test him with different blitzes, cover zero, mm-hmm. until he learns how to beat that. And, you know, he's not going to have Kelce adjusting the protection, sliding it different ways, based on pre-snap. It's all going to be him. And then he's going to have to handle you know, all the motion, the shifts on top of that. So I think it'll be a challenge without Jason Kelce. Still one of the most talented offensive lines, especially if Mekhi Becton, you know, is able to translate a guard. And they're going to be able to move people, but teams are going to be really testing the communication and Jalen Hurts early on.
Yeah, I also think to add to that, the nuance of like how you communicate the protections, you have to also think from the quarterback's perspective. If it's a loud environment and the center's making all the calls, there's no way you know what all the calls are every single play if the center's the one making them. They have some hand signals that maybe they can show, hey, we're sliding 4 to 1 side, maybe 3 to 1 side, like we're pointing out the mic. There's different things that you can kind of get an idea of, but unless he's turning around and telling you, hey, we're going rope here, and rope meaning like a 4-man slide to the right, and then, hey, you know now that the running back has 1 to 2, it's a lot easier if you do have a grasp on the protections to call it yourself as the quarterback, because then you know exactly where you're hot. You know exactly what the problems are. You know where your eyes need to go, where if you're not the one communicating and you're not the one calling the shots, you're reactionary as a quarterback. And I think that's a weird spot to be. I used to hate that on scout team. If there was a center that would try to call slides or whatever, and I'm like, I need to know exactly what you're doing so that I know where to go with the ball. Where I think that if Jalen Hurts can get over that hump of him being the guy that's calling it, you see Jordan Love doing it at the line of scrimmage now. He's in full control, and that allows him to play more comfortable and know that he can slide a little bit to the left and take that deeper shot versus cover zero. Like, I think it's more empowering, and then you can actually take the offense to the next level. But again, it is a luxury. And I think you see the Niners. You look at Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy does not change any protections. Mm-hmm. The centers don't even change protections. Their answer in that system is to throw hot. You got your sight adjusts. You offload it to a screen, or you offload it to a swing. Like, you just throw hot in that system. Where I think taking it to the next level, if I was the Niners, and I know we're not talking about them right now, like giving Brock Purdy a little tool bag to have zero answers. Like that Super Bowl, I think they had a free blitzer or free edge on the right side because they were sliding the line full left. And he got the ball batted down, or he had to do something weird. It was like that last incompletion, and they settled for a field goal, I believe. If he had just changed the protection, they would have had a shot to actually rip it across the middle, where they just don't do that in that system. And I think there's some pros to where they play fast, they're efficient, whatever. But in key situations, I think as a quarterback, you need to know the protections. You need to know what you can get to, and you need to know how to make the play better that some teams do and some teams don't.
Yeah, Shanahan kind of talked about like how it kind of frees the quarterback when they don't have to just constantly adjust and try to get into the perfect protection. Like,
which I love that.
Answers are, then it's kind of like just mentally frees them up.
It does, and that's true. And I think that is why Brock has been able to play at such a high level so early. One, the guys around him. Two, the system. But three, he's never at the line of scrimmage thinking, okay, it's 2-jet. We have 2 threats over here. We have to flipper it, meaning from 2-jet to 3-jet, we'll get the line to slide that way. Where when I was in Green Bay, every single play, you had to adjust the protection to get the running back out, meaning as if there was 2 threats to his side, you had to flip it, get him out so that he could be a part of the pass protection. Where the 49ers, they will keep that running back in every single time if it's a part of the protection, and they don't care to change it to get one more guy out in the route. And I think that's really good unless you're in a third and critical game on the line, Super Bowl on the line, where maybe there's a little bit better way to do it. But I'd imagine as Brock gets further along in that system, he's going to have more freedom. But Shanahan really hasn't had a guy at quarterback for long enough to, I guess, get that freedom.
Said, I'm curious, with the addition of Saquon Barkley, how do you expect the Eagles' running game to look? They kind of went heavier, you know, paid Saquon a lot of money, which is not something they traditionally did. Can we expect a change now in the running game, or is this going to be more of the same with a better back?
Yeah, I mean, there's still going to be a QB option-based running game, and anytime you have a quarterback that, you know, is a threat numerically, it's going to be good for the running back, and Saquon's never really had a threat line Jalen Hurts. So I think, you know, he's going to really benefit from that. But I also think another reason why they paid Saquon is to help in the passing game. One of the reasons the Eagles kind of struggled is they faced a lot of quarters. I think the third highest percentage of quarters defense, which is kind of how college defenses defend the spread. And mm-hmm. they really struggled with that. And one of the ways you beat quarters is you have a good running back that could, you know, match up on those middle linebackers, because those linebackers have to take the running back majority of the time when you're playing that kind of coverage. So I see Saquon being a really big part of this passing game this year.
I love that. And I actually had that conversation with somebody a little bit ago this morning who's saying, what are your thoughts on Saquon? And I don't really love him as a runner in this system. I think he's fine. There's going to be better runners. It's in the pass game. And you look at the mismatches that these coordinators are going to try to create in the NFL. They did it a lot with CeeDee Lamb, try to match him up on linebackers with shifts and motions. You watched the game last night, Rashee Rice. Mm-hmm. How many times did the announcers say, oh, they got him again. They schemed him up on a linebacker. There's no chance. Well, Saquon gets that same kind of respect, but he will be matched up on linebackers because he is a running back. And so to your point, I'd expect a lot of isolation on running back or on the linebackers with him. And I love his ability out of the backfield more than him as a runner this year by far. I don't think that's really what it's about. And I also think getting into critical passing situations, he also has the ability to block. He's a bigger back. Like he's so versatile. They don't have to take him off the field as much as you look at a Derrick Henry. He wasn't in on 3rd and 8, where Saquon can be a true 3-down back. You don't really know what he's going to do. You can't get a beat on what he's going to do. And assuming they use him in that way.
I want to talk a bit about the Eagles defense before we hop over to the Packers. I think a lot of fans would admit they had a disappointing year last year. There was high expectations for the group, underperformed. This year, they brought in Vic Fangio, and there's obviously hope for improvement there. Ted, what do you think they have to do to just be an average defense, which they were below average last year?
I think the run defense has to be a lot better than it was last year. They were, I think, the second worst teams as far as defensive success rate. And they tried to improve their linebacker core with Devin White, and that hasn't really helped out. I don't want to think he's starting right now. And
I don't think he made the trip.
He didn't make the trip. I think the Packers are going to test that run defense early on. We know Vic Fangio wants to play too high and play with light boxes. And Josh Jacobs, when he was challenging for offensive player of the year, he saw a ton of too high with Devontae Adams in it, in the fold with the Raiders. So I think he's still an elite back. I think his efficiency numbers were just because the Raiders' offensive line was really bad last year.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to have an elite year this year. And I think it's going to start with the Eagles' defense. I just don't really see how they're going to stop him, especially if they play too high against all of the Packers' weapons.
Yeah, I was looking at the same thing. I'm like, we keep talking about the Eagles and their weapons and this and that, and like their defense is good DBs, but I'm just like, I don't see how they stop Josh Jacobs tonight from getting 5 yards of rush. I don't see it. The Packers did it last year. They, towards the end of the year, they started running the hell out of the ball. Josh Jacobs is more of a downhill runner than Aaron Jones is. I think that also, what is your answer? You're going to have to bring more people in the box, play one high, probably going to have to press up on the outside. You know, the Packers are going to have shifts and motions. They're going to have tight splits and bunches. The Packers are going to take advantage of leverage in the run game. And that's where it all starts on their outside zone scheme. And if you give one high to Jordan Love, that's where this starts feeding in. Like, do I think that the Eagles could be more flashy and big play? Yeah. But I think the Packers' efficiency and their dialed in-ness is going to be what takes them and wins them this game. And again, being able to just establish the run in the NFL, if you can, over the history of time, I think it's like, if you can run the ball, I don't know what the number is, like 25 times or whatever in a game, typically you're going to win 80% of your games. And I know there's a lot of weird stuff that happens with that fourth quarter nuance, whatever, but I'd imagine that the Packers are going to run the hell out of the ball tonight. And I don't see how the Eagles are going to stop it. And then I also don't think they can match up DB for receiver across the board. Like, I think there will be a mismatch to be had somewhere when they decide to start playing one high man. I don't know. I think the Packers have the most underrated receiving core in the NFL. I know they're not ever in those top three discussions, but I look across the board and I think Romeo Doubs matches up against any DB they have in one-on-one situations. Avante Maddox is a really good nickel, but Dontavian Wicks is a dog and one of the best one-on-one receivers in the league. And size-wise, I think if the Packers just play clean football, take care of the ball, run efficient, hit their crossers off play action, I don't think that they'll be. I don't think you can stop them. I don't think this Eagles defense can stop them.
I want to ask you guys both about this offense. The Packers are the youngest team in the NFL. I think when we project how good they're going to do this year, we just bake in this level of improvement that is undetermined. So I want to ask both of you, Kurt, I can start with you. Mm-hmm. What specific strides do specific players or this young offense have to make in order for them to reach this potential? Because I do feel like we've gotten into this cycle where everybody thinks the Packers are going to be great, assuming some level of improvement by everybody. But obviously, you know, everybody improves at the same rate. There's sometimes regression among certain players. So where does this offense still need to improve for them to reach that potential?
Yeah, honestly, the only thing that I'm seeing from them right now is I don't think there needs to be crazy improvement. I think they just need to take care of the football. I think if they take care of the football and they win the turnover battle, they have enough juice, they have enough efficiency, they have enough run game to actually let things play out. I think this will be a team that they may not beat people 40 to 20 something every single week, whatever. I just think this is going to be a team that you close your eyes and wake up after week 10 and you're like, wow, they've pulled together like 7 wins and they're just like kind of doing it. I don't think they need to blow anybody out. I don't think they need to make any crazy leaps. Just take care of the football, be efficient. And I think the person that can take them over the top to being like a stellar, stellar offense is Christian Watson, which we have not seen a whole lot of. But when we have seen him, especially of late before he was injured, he was really damn good. It looked like he had already taken that leap that they needed him to, but then he was injured. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what can Christian Watson bring to the table, because right now, okay, go ahead and put cover 2 to Romeo Dobbs' side. Try to get him out of the equation. Well, that means you're probably going to have a good run box or you're going to have one-on-one to the field. And I think Christian Watson being able to be that X factor of annihilating one-on-one coverage is really the only person, in my opinion, that needs to take a step for them to be who I think they can be. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, do what you did last year. Don't even have that much improvement and you're going to be fine. And yeah, I would love to hear Ted's point on that.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say the receiving core last year as is, you know, towards the end of the year, they were cooking guys. And you know, even if they don't make a ton of improvement, you know, if they kind of play like they did last year, I mean, they, you know, blew out Dallas at home, they're going to be a good offense. But the thing with this team is, like, they could have 2 or 3 guys legitimately break out. You know, they had, I think, 4 or 5 receivers that caught around 500, 600 yards, all under 24 years old. Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of unprecedented what they have. But also, I think the key is just knowing the plays. And, you know, in the beginning of the year when they're struggling, there were guys like running into each other, yeah, you know, wrong releases and that kind of thing. And it was just kind of like a struggle for Jordan Love. So I think the number one thing is just know the plays, run them. And I just think, you know, just because of progression, natural progression, you're going to have at least 2 guys break out, which is pretty scary.
Totally. It's, I mean, at the end of the day, and I know we'll wrap up here soon with this game, Ted, so you can get out of here. It's one of those things where, like, the team is so young, but they also have so much money spent on defense that, like, we're just talking about offense here. If the offense can just do what they do, they're probably going to win a lot of games. If the defense can become an elite defense, like they pay for it to be, then this becomes a situation where they're like top 2 or 3 in the NFC early on and often. And I think that is what, if I'm looking at this as a Packers fan, want to happen. It's like, offense will be fine. They're going to handle their business. We know they can do their thing. They'll have a down game here or there. But defense, like, can this defense hold teams to 17 points? Can they hold teams to 20 points? Can they create turnovers? Because at the end of the day, they created almost no turnovers last year, and they were still cooking on offense. Now, if you can create, I don't know, 1, maybe a half, 2 more possessions a game for Jordan Love and that offense, then that's where this thing looks like they become this team that they couldn't quite reach last year consistently. So as much as we're talking about the offense, let's talk about the defense creating more turnovers in a more aggressive scheme that gives this team more opportunities. You look at the Seahawks of old, the Legion of Boom made that offense look better because that offense got so many opportunities with short fields. Like, turnovers in the NFL are key. And for an offense to click without them is pretty impressive. Now, to get a short field here and there, like, I looked at that Ravens game last night. I actually was so impressed by the Ravens defense, all things against them. They held the Chiefs on 2 short fields to field goals that, like, that's hard to do. They stopped them from scoring a touchdown from like the 15, and like then they had it on the 35. Like, that keeps you in a game to where you can go to the last play of the game and be out by an inch and still have a chance to win. And now if the Packers can do that, create turnovers, stop short fields, like, I think this defense is going to be what takes them to being, are they the best in the NFC? And we'll find out. There's a lot of ball to be played.
Yeah, it'll be exciting to see this defensive line kind of just play in a system that just allows them to rush up field, be aggressive, instead of kind of just playing that gap in half and waiting at the line of scrimmage and getting gashed in the run anyways.
All right, I have two more questions for you before you leave. One, are you a 4-3 fan or a 3-4 fan, and why?
You know, I think I used to be a 3-4 guy, and then you just see it kind of proliferate around the league, and teams kind of struggle to play it and play the run at the same time, even though you kind of technically have heavier bodies in a box. But I've kind of moved away from liking the cover three system because they just kept on getting gashed by the Shanahan guys. But I kind of just appreciate just letting your defensive line get upfield and rush.
I'm a 4-3 guy. After spending time in San Francisco and seeing how they do things, I'm like, I don't think that your defense can ever reach its full potential in a 3-4. I think you can cover up some holes in a 3-4 with lack of personnel or whatever you want to call versatility. But I'm like, in a 4-3, you get to see mano a mano who's who. Mm-hmm. And if you can be a dominant 4-3 defense, your ceiling is higher. That's my opinion. Look, at the end of the day, if you can rush four and get pressure, you're going to be winning games in the NFL. And I think that's where you're seeing teams trying to establish themselves as, and new GMs coming in, taking over roles. I think building a 4-3 defense gives you the highest ceiling. Then my last question is prediction for tonight. Quick little, how do you think this goes and who wins?
Yeah, I think the Packers are going to win. I was going back and forth with this during the week, but I just think, like we mentioned, the Packers are going to be able to run the ball. And then if they start, bring guys in a box, then I think Jordan Love is going to eat. I think offensively, right now, they're just going to be dealing with too much new stuff for Jalen Hurts. And I think, this offense will improve as the season goes along, but early in the season, in Brazil, I think it's going to be a tough operation. And I do think the Packers are going to really test him. So I think the offense isn't just going to have enough consistency to really keep up with the Packers. So I think Packers win this game 31-17.
Oh, I like that. So there we go. We got plus points on the Packers. Ted, thanks for joining us, man. I know you got to run. I appreciate it. I love talking ball with people that are on the analytical side because it helps me like tie in some of the things that I feel to, all right, what are you seeing? How's the data looking? Like, what is the back and forth between, I would say, like a math side and an art side? So I appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks for being here.
And no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Sweet. Sweet, man. It was cool to have him in and just get a little more perspective, like just to be able to pull like stats out of your butt, basically. I would say I'm like a partial stat guy, but it's just, I like getting the full picture on what I feel like I'm seeing.
Yeah. I like when smart guys tell me the Packers are going to win. So
I like it.
I like when Ted comes on and talks about that. So let's dive into the rest of the slate here. Steelers, Falcons, Cardinals, Bills, Titans, Bears, a lot of great games. Let's go through each one, talk through your pick, give me a little sense into which way you're leaning, how you think the game's going to go, sprinkle some gambling knowledge along the way. And we can start with that Steelers at Falcons game and Arthur Smith revenge game.
All right, so we're going to start there. I think, look, these quick picks, this is what I'm thinking. I think the Falcons are going to win this game. I think Russell Wilson might not even play us soon. Like, we're just finding out he's like dealing with a calf again. So we might get some Justin Fields. I actually don't like the Steelers more when Russell Wilson's playing. So I think Justin Fields might be able to keep them around a little bit, but the Falcons are primed for a big year. So give me the Falcons. They're, I think, now since moved to minus 180. They started out like minus 140, I believe. Now we got Cardinals Bills. This game for me is sketchy. I'm going to take a little bit of a teased Arizona +7.5. And I think that they might win. I would not take the Bills money line here. Something feels fishy. I don't know why the Bills, according to Vegas, like are a good team. I don't see the improvements they've made. I think they've gotten worse. I don't think their defense is going to be able to handle Kyler Murray. And I think this could be a shocker game here. However, Josh Allen's Josh Allen. He might have to run the ball like Lamar Jackson did last night. I'm just a little bit like, this game is weird. So give me the Cardinals in an upset, but I'm not crazy confident about it, but I am pretty confident they're going to cover the +7.5.
I like it.
Now we got Titans Bears. Give me the Bears. I'm heavy on the Bears this year. I think the Bears are going to be a good football team. And I don't think it's all because of Caleb Williams. I think they have a good football team. I think Poles has done a really good job. I don't think that the Titans are going to have enough juice to keep up this year, but I think they're going to win some games. Give me the Bears defense to kind of overwhelm the Titans a little bit this game and Caleb Williams to do enough and be efficient.
Can I ask you quick about Will Levis? Because I feel like we're just forgetting that Will Levis was nearly a first round pick. And I think if you were in the draft this last year, I mean, where would you have ranked him? A mix, Bo Nix, JJ McCarthy, Michael Penix. Like, I feel like he would have been in that conversation as a top 10 pick just because of our quarterback mania this year. And all of a sudden we just forget 1 year removed, which is crazy how it happens, right? Like a guy has, he didn't even play the full year last year. And we just forget that we were hyping him up as his first round talent the year before.
You know, I'm going to say that I was not on the Will Levis train. I was not believing that he was a first round guy. I do think he played good football last year though. I would put Will Levis in the Drake May category of a big unknown, has a frame, has a strong arm, but like, I don't know. Takes a lot more to play quarterback consistently long term. I think that he has enough to be the quarterback for the Titans. I think he's better than Tannehill was. I just think that, man, he's got to be able to win consistently as a passer. And I think that if we see early that he's developed as a passer, then I'm going to be on board of the train. But I don't trust quarterbacks that are not consistently accurate until I've seen it. And that's kind of why I'm in the Anthony Richardson train too, of like, yes, he can be good. He can be this, can be that. But like, until you're consistently accurate, it doesn't matter. Because even you look at Lamar Jackson last night, Lamar Jackson was running for his life, had 120 some yards or whatever rushing, and it still was not enough. So I just think you've got to be able to check that box first.
Fair enough.
And Lamar had a great night. But to those guys' points, I don't think to win, like the gold standard right now is 10 wins in the league. Can you lead your team to 10 wins or you're going to get replaced? And I don't know if Will Levis can do that.
Fair. All right, let's move on to Patriots Bengals. Who do you have here?
The Bengals are my survivor pick of the week. They're sitting at between minus 400 and minus 450. I don't see how New England does enough at all to even keep this relatively close. I also think that the Bengals have too much firepower on offense with Joe Burrow as the trigger man to lose this game. If the Bengals lose a home opener to the Patriots, all hell might break loose. And I don't think it's going to happen.
Are you worried at all about the fact that they might not have Ja'Marr Chase and the Bengals are notorious for starting off slow?
The Bengals do start off slow, but I also think that the Bengals last year started off so slow that they probably have a pretty sour taste in their mouth. They missed the playoffs, right? Like, I don't think that this is going to be the Bengals team that we saw in previous years thinking they can just show up and win games. I think they're going to have to go fight for it. And I think they will fight for it.
Fair enough. Texans Colts.
All right. Texans Colts. I'm taking the Texans all day long. I have a large bet on the Texans already. I don't see how the Texans lose this game. If this game was in Houston, the Texans would probably be minus 250, maybe 275. Right now they're sitting at minus 150 and it's been moving. The game started out way closer than that. I don't see how Anthony Richardson is going to be able to elevate the Colts enough to keep up with what the Texans have rolling on offense. Also, with the Texans' improved defensive line, I think that this could be a game that's close in the first half, and then second half kicks open, and the Texans just blow it wide open.
Fair enough. Can I enter something into the record? And I don't want you to judge me for this take. I just heard somebody else say it, and I want to repeat it to you, that the same way people are saying that Jordan Love only had half a good season last year, CJ Stroud, if the way we talk about him was reflective of the stats, you'd have thought he threw for 40 touchdowns and 5,000 yards.
Yeah.
The guy didn't even throw for 30 touchdowns last year. So is there a chance that CJ Stroud and Anthony Richardson are closer than we think because we love CJ Stroud and we don't like Anthony Richardson? You're shaking your head. No,
no chance. Okay. No chance. So you know me, I'm not a stat guy. Like, stats are great. They can help you win arguments here and there. I'm just straight up watching what CJ Stroud does on film. And he is one of the most talented passers in the league. Like, Joe Burrow level of nuance to how he plays the position, with changing arm angles, buying time, staring down the barrel, delivering with people in his face, accuracy from different platforms. Like, CJ Stroud is the full package as a passer. And now you added extra juice on offense. You added extra juice on defense. I think that the Texans could be the 49ers of the AFC within the next 2 to 3 years, if they can keep replenishing. And again, their style of play is straight from that 49ers scheme. It's the defense, the offense, like, it's all within that same tree, and they're building their team that way. And so I'm looking at the Texans in a weak division, which the AFC or the NFC West has been traditionally weak. The Rams have traditionally not been good, even though they won a Super Bowl a few years ago. Cardinals have not been good. And then the Seahawks had a stretch. but the 49ers have been dominating that division. I think that the Texans could be dominating the AFC South, even though the Jaguars exist. I mean, you look at the Colts, you look at the Titans, those two, I don't think have enough to compete with them. And so if the Texans just show up and play football and play clean football, take care of the ball, run the plays and hit open routes, because there's going to be open routes, I don't think people can keep up with them. I'm looking at the Texans like they're going to be a 10-win team, should be 11, might win 12 or 13. So I'm big on the Texans this year.
That's fair. I think where my Stroud point was coming from is probably this internalized hate of, not hate, I think for a long time, the Texans and Packer fans were united because we were the fun young teams with the quarterbacks that came out of nowhere. And very quickly, we're on a crash course to being teams that don't like each other, because I imagine the Packers and the Texans might be contending for, you know, in big games, possibly for Super Bowls. Right. So I need to maintain that alliance as long as possible, but they're starting. Yeah. There's some cracks in my alliance with Texans fans. All right. Jags at Dolphins, Kurt.
Give me the Dolphins. I think they got too much for the Jags to keep up with. I also think that the Jags could sneaky upset them. Like, I'm not like a all in on the Dolphins right now. I think the Dolphins will win, but I don't love the Dolphins. I think they got a little bit exposed last year, and I would expect to see defenses that have some talent, which I think the Jags have a little bit of talent on defense, give them a run for their money.
I'm curious how you see this year for a coach like Mike McDaniel, who has had great regular season performance, but hasn't really shown up in the playoffs. Is that a coach thing? Is that a Tua thing? Is that a team identity thing? Because I think quickly he's going to start to feel this pressure of like, okay, great, you can score 70 points in the regular season, yeah, but what have you done in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think that McDaniels is a great coach. I'm concerned about Tua, and I know that I'll get hate for that. I don't think that Tua has what it takes to get them to the next level and in a deep playoff run. And if it happens and I'm wrong, I will gladly say I was wrong. But you look around the league, man, this is a quarterback dominant league. Tua was almost basically going to retire 2 to 3 years ago. People want to forget about that all of a sudden. You add in a Tyreek Hill to the equation, and Tua now is him, according to a bunch of people. Tyreek Hill is him, and Tua is the beneficiary of it. And that's just, it is what it is. Tua is great at what he's good at. But you could put a lot of other quarterbacks in that Dolphin system, and I would say that they would be favorites to win the AFC. But I am not all in on Tua. He's going to have fine stats. He's going to throw the ball a lot. He's going to have Tyreek Hill run for 80-yard touchdowns. That's fine. But in crunch time, you need a guy that can move, or you need a guy that is so dialed with other intangibles that I don't believe that Tua has to get them to the next level. And I'm not – like, Tua is a good NFL quarterback. I don't put him in the great category like many people do, just because he throws for 4,000 yards and has a lot of touchdowns. Like, that's not the reality that we live in. That's not the reality that these teams prep for. And I don't know. I think that the Dolphins might not even make the playoffs this year. I don't know. Maybe. Right? Like, maybe, but the AFC is really damn good. I think the Jets are going to win their division. I don't think that Tua is going to do much of anything against that Jets defense this year. Besides, maybe Tyreek slips past somebody and goes the distance, right? Like, but I'm talking about consistently playing football in the pocket, bullets flying. Like, Tua's not been that guy. So I don't love the Dolphins. I think that they're mediocre. But I think if they had a different quarterback, like in my outside world dream scenario, the Dolphins trade for Justin Herbert. Mm. And give a bunch of picks, whatever. Like, that's kind of like what I'm, if the Dolphins had a Justin Herbert kind of guy, and this is not anything against the Chargers, like, I would say the Dolphins could be the best team in the NFL, but their ceiling is only as tall as Tua.
Yeah.
It's not very tall.
And when you look at that division now too, with Aaron Rodgers coming back and you have Josh Allen, he's at best the third best quarterback in that division, and you don't know what Drake May could look like, but you could see a world in the next couple of years where it looks like Tua is the worst quarterback in that division, and you just can't have sustained success if you have the worst quarterback in the division, no matter how good your head coach is.
I mean, it's, yeah, I don't know where the like anointing of Tua began. Mm. I guess I do know where it was, when they got Tyreek Hill. So no shit. Like, yeah. I guarantee you Sam Darnold's going to look good this year. Good enough, and he might throw for 4,000 yards because of Justin Jefferson. Like, it's, I don't know, man. I think the Dolphins will be better with Brock Purdy. truthfully.
Sure.
Like Brock Purdy, in my opinion, is a better quarterback than Tua. But people shit on him and act like, you know what I mean? It's just like a weird dynamic. Like put these guys in a vacuum and Brock Purdy is just as accurate, just as this, just as that, but then he's athletic and then he can ad lib and create plays. I think the Dolphins are missing a little bit of ad lib right now. I don't think that you can have super, super sustained success in this league if you can't make plays with your feet at quarterback.
Fair enough. Maybe it's lefty biased. Anyway, Panthers at Saints. We have a stinker the first week. Okay.
Yeah, give me the Saints at home. Give me the Saints at home, but this Panthers defense now, hey, can you let Derek Carr get into the red zone and then take advantage of him? I don't know. It's like, I don't know. Maybe they'll, if the Saints will win convincingly, if they pull Derek Carr once they get to the 20-yard line and let Taysom Hill finish the job. That's my thought on the Saints. I think that the Saints have weapons, but just, I don't know, man. I don't know. They can't pull it together. I'm not confident in the Saints.
And I figured that. Is this you hedging against the Saints where you're building them up right now only so you can watch them fall further when they lose?
Yeah, like this might be, like, I know the Saints are probably going to win like 5 games this year. I think they go 1-1 against the Panthers is all I'll say. And they might lose this one. I don't think they're going to lose them. Like, that stadium's hard to play at. Their defense, the Saints' defense is good. But I also think that the biggest problem for the Saints' offense is the Saints' offense. And I'll leave it at that.
All right. Vikings at Giants. Who do you have here?
Give me the Vikings, dude. I think the Vikings are going to be a good football team. Good enough. Give me Sam Darnold to have a solid game. I mean, if you look at the weapons that the Vikings have, they're so much better than the Giants. Like, I think Sam Darnold's a better quarterback than Daniel Jones. I think that Aaron Jones is the better running back in the game. I think that Justin Jefferson's the best receiver. I think Jordan Addison is the best too. I think that the Vikings defense is going to have to show up. Like, they're going to have to have a good plan to create confusion for Daniel Jones. But all I know is I saw a lot of ugly out of Daniel Jones in preseason, and that leash is getting tight. And I don't know, man. I don't see the Giants winning this game.
Wasn't Daniel Jones serviceable like 2 years ago? Like, he was injured last year, and the year before that, he was all right. So what does he need to do to get back there? That's honestly probably the worst case scenario for Giants fans, where he looks good enough, and then you have to consider whether you want to keep him around. Dude, but what does he have to do?
I need Daniel Jones to not think that he's Josh Allen. Like, I need Daniel Jones to play like he is, I don't know, man. Like Tommy DeVito? Like, play like you're Tommy DeVito and you'll be fine. When you start doing stupid shit like you're Josh Allen, but you're not Josh Allen, so you can't get away with it, that's when things go wrong. Like, Josh Allen can do Josh Allen things because he is who he is. And he's got a strong enough arm, he's big enough body, he's athletic enough. Like, just because you're built like him doesn't mean you are built like him. And I want Daniel Jones to just play a little more like Tom Brady. Like just take what they give you, be efficient, on time, accurate, throw the ball away, let your defense play. Like, Daniel Jones is the Giants' biggest problem when he's Daniel Jonesing. So just don't do it. You know what I mean? Like, you see how frustrated they get at him throwing that pick six down in preseason while you're falling over. Like that stuff that if I was playing quarterback as an undrafted guy, I wouldn't even be allowed in the building anymore the next day. You know what I mean? Like, I would be cast away. But because they paid him so much money because he was a first round pick or whatever, like, he's going to get time and time. Like, if Tommy DeVito did shit like that, Tommy DeVito would be cut.
Yeah.
So it's, you know what I mean? Like, let's talk like apples to apples in the same quarterback room. If Tommy DeVito did the same shit that Daniel Jones did, Tommy DeVito would be on the street. So, like, just stop doing that shit.
All right, Raiders at Chargers. What do you think?
Give me the Raiders. Give me the Raiders. I don't know why the Chargers are favored in this game. Who do they have? Who, like, the Chargers will be in an absolute rebuild. And I'm like, this isn't even an indictment against all 12 Charger fans that exist on Twitter. This is just a fact. Like, the Raiders have a nasty defensive line. The Raiders have a good secondary. The Raiders have a good receiving core. And they got freaking Gardner Minshew, who's going to just go and have nothing to lose. Like, the Raiders are one of these teams this year in the NFL that I'm like, they show up and they're like the bad boys of the NFL again, but they actually have really good players. And if they just kind of show up with nothing to lose every week, they might F around and make the playoffs. And meanwhile, you have the Chargers who we're going to go 22 personnel all game long. Like you're going to run ISO. I don't know, man. Like you're going to try to throw a deep cross to who, you know, like I'm really excited to see what the Chargers do because I don't know what they're going to do. I don't even know who's on their team at this point after scanning the roster again. And you've got, this is what I'm talking about. Put yourself in Justin Herbert's shoes. You can't tell me that Justin Herbert doesn't wake up in the morning and just be like, man, what the fuck? Like, this is the hand that I was dealt. You know what I mean? Like, I know he's a starting quarterback in the NFL, making a lot of money, whatever, but like, he wants to win games. And you look at all these teams, you look at the Chiefs, just got Xavier Worthy, little two touchdowns opening game, actually a guy with some juice. And Mahomes somehow just keeps getting dogs. And then you look at Herbert and it's just like, I've never seen a quarterback least built around besides Justin Herbert than maybe Justin Fields. Maybe it's a Justin problem. Hmm. Like, I don't know, man. I feel for Justin Herbert. I feel for Chargers fans. I want the Chargers to be a good team. I like their uniforms. Like, I want the Chargers to not suck. I want to see Justin Herbert throw 5,500 yards in a season. But it's just not going to happen. So, I don't know. And I think Harbaugh's a good coach, but who's he coaching? This is the problem. Like, you say something bad about Chargers fans or about Chargers, and they think the fans, like, you're coming at them, like, personally. I don't know.
They have a callus built up. I think they've been the butt of a joke for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Anyway, man. Broncos.
Go back to San Diego.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's... They just built that $6 billion stadium. I think they probably want to play there.
Let the Rams use it.
Yeah.
All right. Broncos, Seahawks. I think I smell an upset, dude. The Broncos, look, I shit on Sean Payton so much last year, and I'm giving him another chance. He did not like Russell Wilson, and he self-sabotaged. We'll just call it what it is. He didn't call plays that were going to work. He just, let's get the out of this season. Now, the Broncos have a good defense, okay? The Broncos defense turned into a problem late in that year. I think that the Seahawks are getting older. I don't think that they've gotten better. I think Smith and Jigba is a dog. I think the running back's a dog. But I kind of like the Broncos here, man. Like, I think Bo Nix is an elevator for this Broncos team. And I think Cortland Sutton's a good receiver. Like, I think the Broncos are going to have enough juice to at least cover 7.5. But I think that they could pull an upset here. Like, I really think they can pull an upset here. So I got my eyes peeled on this game. I know it's a tough environment. I know it's like probable not going to happen. But the Broncos are another team that I look at like the Raiders. Like, I don't know, man. Like, something feels like they have more confidence in themselves than the league has in them. So let's see what's what, Mr. Payton.
Your switch up on Sean Payton has been rather impressive. You were dogging him last year. But maybe just took a year to take... Year. Take the Saints stink off of him. Maybe you had a little Saints residual hate for Sean Payton.
Maybe. But I will say, I think Sean Payton did a dog shit job of coaching last year. Mm. I think he's going to do a good job of coaching this year. I don't think Sean Payton wanted to coach Russell Wilson last year. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think Sean Payton put them in the best position to win games last year. I think that Sean Payton will do that this year. But I felt a little self-sabotage-y by Sean. Maybe he'd even admit it. We don't know. I don't know him like that.
I think he might admit it. I feel like he's the kind of guy who would come out 5 years later and be like, I tanked that season to get rid of Russell Wilson. And at that point,
We needed a better pick.
Yeah. And everybody hates Russell Wilson at this point. So they'll be like, I get it. And like, he'll feel comfortable to say that because he doesn't think there'd be any pushback, which is crazy a grown man is throwing a temper tantrum essentially on the sideline. But
we all saw it last year. Like, he was so visibly mad at Russell Wilson that like he couldn't even call plays.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't even call you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I saw their offense in preseason this year. They were dialing it up more in preseason than they ever were last year. And I'm like, okay, Sean, I know what you're doing here. I know what you're doing. You got friends with the over on the season wins, huh? So, Sean Payton's probably getting back into his bag. But that's the other thing, guys, with me. I will literally call it as I see it in that moment. And if things change. But in that moment, I'm going to let you know, last night's officiating was bullshit. I still like the Chiefs, though. Like, I like watching them play football. Like, I just, I'm going to be an open book and tell you what I see. And we're going to move on to this next game because I think the Browns are going to beat the Cowboys.
Oh.
Browns? Browns at home? Listen, I think that the Cowboys are going to have a little bit of residual from that ass beating that the Packers gave them. I think the Browns defense, again, they were like top defense in the last 50 years for the first 5 to 8 weeks of the season last year. I think Deshaun Watson isn't going to suck. Don't shoot the messenger. I don't think Deshaun Watson's going to suck. Last time we saw Deshaun Watson on a field, he led the Browns to a 14-point fourth quarter lead or comeback against the Ravens. And then he got injured and he was out for the season. Finally, like we finally saw a glimpse of what the Browns hope to have in Deshaun Watson. That was the last time we saw him. But people forget about it. I think that the Browns have enough juice to go win this game. I also think watch out for Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy is going to be a mismatch in the slot. He's no longer being asked to be wide receiver one. He's going to be matched up on nickel defenders, some linebackers, maybe a little Rashee Rice type action. I like the resurgence of Jerry Jeudy here with also Elijah Moore. So give me the Browns. Give me Ford to be Ford tough this game. And I just don't think the Cowboys, have what it takes this year.
All right. Commanders at Buccaneers.
Man. I think the Bucs are going to win this game, but I have the Commanders in my pick'ems just because I think the Commanders, fuck, don't do it. We're taking the Commanders. The Commanders. Week one, weird stuff happens. How do you account for Jaden Daniels in a live situation? We haven't seen it. They haven't seen it. Nobody's seen it. He was a Heisman last year for a reason. He took a really bad LSU team to the next level. Not really bad, but he elevated them like crazy. They were what they were last year because of him. Now you grab a Commanders team that's, they weren't terrible. The Commanders were serviceable, right? They have a good receiving core. And Sam Howell led the league in passing yards last year up to a point. I think Jaden Daniels could be a problem. And I think that there's no way to account for it. I think he's more pro ready today than Lamar Jackson was his rookie year. I don't know, man. I kind of think the Commanders, if they stay healthy, can be a wild card team. And I think that the Bucs are getting older.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with you. We have two awesome primetime matchups. We have a rematch of that playoff game last year, Rams at Lions, Sunday Night Football. Who do you like?
Yeah. Give me the Lions. Give me the Lions at home. I don't think the Rams have enough on defense now without Aaron Donald, to be honest. I don't know how they're going to consistently stop the run. I don't know how they're going to consistently get pressure. I think that the Rams will be in a bunch of shootouts this year. And I don't think the Rams defense has it. And I think the Lions, when you play like that, the Lions are going to have foot on the gas. They're going to be pounding the ball, play action, all that. I don't think the Rams have enough juice. So give me the Lions. And then Jets Niners, dude.
Awesome game.
Man, I don't know what happens. I'm going to say that the Jets are going to win because I think the Jets defense this year could be very 2000-ish Baltimore Ravens type of defense. Like they have that kind of power. That D-line is crazy. The DBs are crazy. Their linebackers are crazy. And Aaron Rodgers is damn near undefeated in games that his defense lets no more than 20 points be scored. And I know this game is the one we're talking about, but the Jets this season, man, we could see generational Jets. This could be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for the Jets while they have this core on this roster. My gut's telling me the Jets. What happened the last time that Aaron Rodgers went to 49ers Stadium and played? Do you remember?
We probably lost because Aaron Rodgers never beats the 49ers.
I actually think Packers won. Okay. It was in 2021. Unless they played in 22, I believe it was 2021. Packers went to, Aaron Rodgers. When Aaron Rodgers was there, I'm not talking about the last year game. Okay. When Aaron Rodgers went to San Francisco in 2021, it was that game where there was 45 seconds left, no timeouts, needed to get into field goal range, 2-minute drill. Right. Hit Devontae Adams two times in a row, last second field goal, Mason Crosby walk off. I don't know, man. Aaron Rodgers, away game, comeback, NFL script. Niners, Chris McCaffrey, ankle, Achilles, already kind of hurting. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. I I think the Jets defense is going to be a problem, so much so that the Jets offense doesn't have to do a whole lot to win this game. That's all I'm saying.
And so, their offense cannot be worse than it has been literally the last 10 years, 15 years. I mean, like, this is their shot.
The Jets almost made the playoffs last year. Like, they had a chance with no offense.
Right.
So you give Aaron Rodgers the best defense he's ever had in his career with the most motivation he's ever had to come back from anything, plus weapons in Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson. I don't know, man. I don't know. I like the Jets this game. Give it to me.
I like it. I like it. That's every game on the slate. And you just got me excited going through every game because I am so pumped up. These week one matchups are insane. Kudos to the schedule.
Hey, the script makers and the schedule makers all in their bag this week one. I think the best part about week one, like, and especially if you're people that like to play the games, gamble, whatever, take it light. See what these teams are. Get an idea of who's who. Like, don't just go and go balls to the wall because you want to and you're excited. Wait till week two because we think we know these teams in week one, but we don't. We don't know anything about any of these teams. We don't know their camaraderie, their continuity. We don't know any of it. And we're going to find out real quick. So I'm excited to watch like anybody else.
Anything else you'd like to cover?
I think I'm good, man. I think let's just enjoy it, guys. Football's back. It's been a long, long road to get here. But we appreciate you guys being here. Looking forward to covering this stuff on socials across the weekend. And we'll be seeing you next time. I hope your picks hit. I hope your slips hit. Good luck.